Well, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
You can tell by the slide, I've decided to take a brief break from our series today. Really for two reasons. One is, well, I had a pretty busy week again. Still cannot report I have a roof on my house, but maybe. Just maybe. Depending on the weather, we might have one next week. We'll see. So because of the busyness, I really didn't have... I mean, I had some time, but I don't think I would have done the next section of the series justice. I need a little more study time. And that really went well with what I was feeling anyway. I was just kind of feeling like we needed a break from it. Don't ask me why. This was on my mind. I wasn't worried about it. I just, you know. it was just on my mind. I just felt like we did. And anyway, if I'm wrong, that's okay. We'll get back to it. It never hurts to just step aside and look at some other scripture for a moment, you know? And that's what we're going to do today. So, what are you worried about? What am I worried about? I asked myself this question this week. Sherilyn mentioned, as most of you know, my sister-in-law, Sandy, died a couple weeks ago. We had the funeral last Friday. And the theme of the funeral, if there's such a thing, there was to this one. Everybody that walked in got a little yellow sticker and a smiley face. And it was all about that song, you know, don't worry, be happy. Does everybody know that song? Everybody familiar with it? I won't sing it for you. But anyway, it got stuck in my head, as it does. And it made me start thinking, you know, and questioning myself. What am I worried about? What am I anxious about? What's stirred up that is there? And I realize, you know, there's a lot we can be worried about if we want to be. In fact, I know some people are just worriers, period. You know, there are people that worry to the point that when things are good, they worry about when things aren't going to be good. You know, as Mom used to say, they worry about not having anything to worry about. Well, even if you're not that way, these days, there's plenty of things to worry about, isn't there? A lot to worry about. We could talk about, well, just watch the news one night, you know. What is there? Human trafficking. There's disasters all over the place. We've got a government that is corrupt and inept, and it's a mess. You know, you look at Turkey, and, you know, and then don't even think about the fact that we have a threat of global nuclear annihilation, you know. So there's a lot to worry about. That's just a real short list. And maybe you're the kind then that can take all of those big things and just give them over to a big God. You know, I can do that. I'm pretty good at that. I have a lot of peace in my spirit about those things. I can watch the news and I can see it and I can whatever, and I know it's ridiculous, but I also know that there is a God, Yehovah, bigger than all of it. I don't have a problem with that. Now maybe you do, but I want to ask the question, what about the little things? What about the little things? You know, it's one thing to say, oh, hey, these are big things and we can give them over to a big God, and we should, as we'll see. But these little things can be just as crippling, just as debilitating, just as detrimental to our mental and our spiritual health. We're told in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through through Messiah Yeshua. It says, be anxious for nothing. And that does mean nothing. It means even the little things. It is something I struggle with. Because, like I said, I have no problem giving the big things over to Yehovah. No problem at all. He's a big God. He's got big shoulders. And I have all the confidence and trust in Him to deal with them according to His plan, His justice, His mercy, and His infinite wisdom. There's a song, you know, if you ever went to Sunday school, you know, as a child, you know, He's got the whole world in His hands. And He does. He truly does. That's God. He's the king of the big stuff. But is it the same for me with all the little puny things in my life? I've gotten better at this over the years, thanks to my wife. But I realized as that Don't Worry, Be Happy song just played in my head as I was down there working, that I haven't figured out yet how to give everything over to God. And I perceive that I'm probably not the only one. There might be some like me in this room. There might be some online with us. And if that's the case, just know that you're not alone. Even in the ministry, I recalled reading a story about a missionary, and so I got on to the Google and I looked it up to figure out who it was, and I found it. His name was Eli Stanley Jones. You may never have heard of him. He lived from 1884 to 1973. He was an American Methodist missionary. He was a theologian, he was an author. He became famous for his just blanketing the thousands and thousands of meetings and sermons that he did across India, even reaching the educated classes in India. He is sometimes referred to as the Billy Graham of India because he reached thousands of people with his message about Christ. As an author, one of his books called Christ of the Indian Road sold more than 1 million copies worldwide when it was published in 1925. Since then, by 1907 or so, up to 2018, 3 million copies of his books have been sold. In 1938, Time magazine called Jones the world's greatest Christian missionary. That's high praise from Time magazine. But prior to all of that, he studied law before graduating from Asbury College in Kentucky in 1907. He was a professor there after he graduated. And that is the time in which he was called into missionary work by the church. He became a close friend of many of the leaders in India, and this allowed him to become really influential there. He was really good friends with Mohandas Gandhi. In 1925, while home on furlough, he wrote a report about his travels over there and his work. And that was the book that I mentioned, Christ of the Indian Road. In the months prior to December 7th, 1941, which we all know what that was, he was a constant confidant of Theodore Roosevelt, as well as several of the Japanese leaders in an effort to try to avert the war. During the war, he was stranded in the United States because no travel was allowed outside of the military. And during that time, he conducted citywide evangelical missions and stuff all over the country. And after the war, he took that and out to the rest of the world, and he actually ministered in almost every country on the planet. Why am I telling you all this? Well, in 1959, Dr. Stanley was named missionary extraordinary by the Methodist Missionary publication. In 1962, he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. And in 1963, Dr. Jones received the Gandhi Peace Award. He had become close friends of Mahatma Gandhi, and after Gandhi's assassination, he wrote a biography of Gandhi's life. Later, Dr. Martin Luther King read that book, and he stated that it was the thing that made him be anti-violent during that whole deal. He died in January of 1973 in India. There were a lot of other things that I read about him that were very remarkable that I didn't add into this. But I wanted to give you enough to know that despite not having all the truth, none of us do, he was certainly very zealous for Christ and very successful in getting the message that he had out there. But here's the deal, and here's the reason why I'm sharing this with you and telling you about this Billy Graham of India. Every single thing he accomplished, all of that work, none of it happened. It was almost all completely aborted by anxiety and worry. When he arrived in India from the United States at the beginning of his journey, worry about the work ahead caused him to actually physically collapse several times to such a degree that they had to ship him home. He even collapsed several times on the voyage on the ship coming back. When he got here and saw the doctor basically told him that he needed to take a year off. But he was just so stressed that it was going to kill him if he didn't. So he did. He took a year off. When he returned to India, though, the anxiety returned. The worry all came back. His fellow missionaries feared it was going to kill him. One day in a prayer, he wrote that he heard a voice ask him, "Are you ready for this work to which I have called you?" "No," replied Jones. "I've reached the end of my resources." The Lord answered, "If you will just turn that over to me and not worry about it, I'll take care of it." It was a turning point for him, and Jones wrote in his book that he simply replied, "Lord, I close the bargain right now." He said, "I close the bargain right now." And peace replaced the debilitating worry. And from that point, Jones went on to accomplish all that I had described and more. I simply want to say this, that this is what the Lord says to you today. Now, he may not do it in an audible voice, but he does speak through Scripture. And so I want to look today at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. This will be the centerpiece for our message today. It says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Cast all your care, all your anxieties, all your worry on him, for he cares for you. So the question is, will you, as Dr. Stanley did, close the bargain today? Will you close the bargain today? Will you cast your care upon him? He does care. Big things, small things, all things. This verse is a comforting verse for anyone burdened with anxiety and worry. You see, it knows that you have it. It doesn't say if you have it, right? It assumes you do because you do. The Greek word here means care or concern, and it can be good or bad, depending on the context in which it's used. Some cares and concerns are natural and a normal part of human life. We all have them. As followers of Yeshua, there is also godly concerns that are right and proper for us to care about. But some cares and some concerns are just illegitimate. They're just illegitimate. They are planted and nurtured by the deceiver. He uses them to torment us, to derail us from the peaceful, close relationship that God wants to have with us. It's sinful to be consumed by divisive, excessive, perplexing cares. And this is the anxiety, this is the worry that this scripture addresses. And if it's allowed, it can just stretch out across all parts and time frames of your life, all phases. Regret carries yesterday's burdens. Stress carries today's, and worry carries tomorrow's burdens. It just stretches out. So consider then how you are carrying your burdens, because Yeshua said his burden is light, right? Is yours? Consider Matthew 6. Verses 25 to 27 says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" I love that. Yeshua said, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or wear. Now, do you realize who he was talking to? Now, he was talking to a crowd of people, but who was in that crowd of people? The disciples. I mean, he tailored these things, and he was talking to everybody, but he's discipling his disciples, right? Okay. So, these are not questions of the hungry or the naked. The disciples had food to eat. They had clothes to wear. Oh, but that's today. I got food and I got clothes today. But what about tomorrow? What if? I might not tomorrow. What's in store in the future? You see, undue concern about tomorrow's needs ruins the enjoyment of today's blessings. I'm going to repeat that. Undue concern about tomorrow's needs ruins the enjoyment of today's blessings. Drop down to verse 34. He says, because of all that, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. In other words, tomorrow will take care of itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for today is what's in today. Right? But that is what we worry about, isn't it? We worry about tomorrow. We worry about tomorrow. What about tomorrow worries you? I mean, there could be a list, right? Is it health issues? Is it health issues for yourself? Is it worried about health issues for somebody else? Is it some family relationship, some work thing? Is it financial? You worried about paying the bills tomorrow? Maybe it's a big decision that you've got to make that's looming down the road, and it's just weighing on you. Will I make the right choice? You know, all this future stuff. 1 Peter 5:7 is the key to a worry-free life. It says to cast. It says to cast. Cast your cares upon God. All of them. He's saying, give your worries over to me. And so you can see kind of three dynamics. We're going to cover three dynamics of things that are embedded right here that can help us lead a worry-free life. The first one is what we'll call humble submission. Notice that that it says that this verse 7 really is not complete, right? It's coming from here. And so the thought is, the command is to humble yourself, right? That's the instruction. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. To be humbled is to be reduced in rank or status, right? Or character. In Scripture, the emphasis is on humility of character. So you can have a high position. God does not want us to be, you know, without influence. We can be very successful in the things that he wants us to be. Okay. So he's not saying, you know, all Christians need to be, you know, the lowliest of low of society. What he's saying is, what the Scripture teaches us is to be humble in that. To be humble of character. Okay? Yeshua did that, you know, because you can occupy a high status and still be humble in character. Have a lowly spirit. Yeshua did it. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the stake." You get that? That he is God. At the throne of the universe, he emptied himself of all of that divinity and power and everything and came in flesh. Flesh that, by the way, he invented. He thought this up. It's amazing, right? And so you talk about humility, that is the epitome of it. And so we are to emulate that. We are to walk in that same attitude. We are to willingly accept whatever it costs to do God's will. There's this Christian story about crosses. You know how I feel about crosses. But anyway, the point in this little story is still good. So bear with it. It's about a Christian who was carrying his cross, and he was just really burdened with it, and he just really didn't like it, right? He's just weighed down. And so he was walking along, and he saw this shop that sold crosses. So he thought, wow, I'll go in and see what they got. And he walked in, and the shopkeeper said, "Yeah, you bring your cross in, and you look around, you find any cross you want, and I'll just trade you straight up." "Yeah, okay, that's great." So he went around, and he's trying on all these different crosses. And every one of them feeling worse than the one before. Well, finally he came across one that said, "Well, this one's not so bad. I think I'll take this one." So he took it up there. And he says, "Well, I want to trade for this one." The shopkeeper looked at him and he says, "That's the one you brought in." See, God knows what we can handle. He knows, you know, the how we can carry a burden, right? But what he wants us to do is he wants us to give that burden, not trade it for another cross, but to take that cross in that analogy and give it to him. Yeshua said, my burden is light. See, we're tempted to grumble and complain and lament about whatever burden we carry. But verse 6 says to humble yourself. Humble yourself and say, "Hey, I can't tell you, no, here, it's yours," right? That's one of the ways that we humble ourselves. And you see this whole thing in verse 6 is really an analogy of what I would say would be the irresistible and undefeatable, sovereign, omnipotent hand of God. Right? He can handle it. The mighty hand of God does whatever He pleases. Peter wrote this letter to Christians who faced growing hostility because of their faith in Christ, and it was going to even get worse. But notice that he did not really mention those who persecuted them. He didn't do that. Because whatever happened, in his mind, it's God's handiwork. It's His hand doing it. God has His hand right in the life of every believer, whether we feel it on a daily basis or not. There is nothing in the life of a believer that God does not allow, that He doesn't use to develop us. Romans 8 is a familiar passage, but I'm going to read it anyway. We all know, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, we know that that doesn't mean that the life of a believer is all roses and sunshine. You know, the prosperity gospel people love to point to this. But what it does mean is that all things, everything in our lives, good, bad, challenging, even awful, that God is weaving all of that together for our ultimate good. And so because of that, we don't have to worry. He's the master potter. He's the master weaver. There's an analogy of a big tapestry. If you'd see the tapestry of your life, it'd be a beautiful tapestry, but on the back is all the little knots where they're tying all the little pieces, okay? And we can get in a mindset where that's all we see is just all the knots. But God is doing a work. It says, humble yourself so that at the proper time He may exalt you. And this verse reminds us that pride is the enemy of it's our worst enemy. But humility is our best friend. Yeshua said this, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So if you humble yourself, it says the Lord will exalt you. If you exalt yourself, the Lord's going to humble you. Now, which would you prefer? I'd much rather be exalted than humbled. But now, when does the word tell us that we will be exalted? At the proper time. But notice Psalm 30. It says, for His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So the good that God is working out in believers comes, as the psalmist puts it, in the morning. Now this is poetic language, right? He's talking about, you know, these undulations, right? There is always a morning after the night. Always, isn't there? Always. God is faithful, okay? And so he says, in the morning, then joy comes. But we must endure through the darkness sometimes to get to the promised light of the morning. But through it all, God is saying that He's working out our ultimate good. So the joy is promised, right? So what do we do in the meantime? Well, 1 Peter 5:7, it answers the question, doesn't it? It says, cast your anxiety, cast your worry about it, for He cares for you. Cannot forget that He's working out for good. He cares for you. Okay? And so we can humble ourselves and say, okay, I'm not in control of everything. Here it is. You see, worry, in a sense, is just a form of pride. Because we become anxious when we think that we can or we must handle everything ourselves, using our own strength, our own wisdom, our own perseverance, our own resources. And when we ultimately see that we're lacking, then the worry sets in, doesn't it? Because we're looking at ourselves pridefully instead of to God. Okay? Humility that leads to exaltation requires that you cast your anxiety, you cast your worries onto the Lord in humble submission. Humble submission. We truly have a friend in Christ, one with great big shoulders. So humble submission is the first dynamic of a worry-free life that we see embedded here in 1 Peter 5:7. Number two is positive relinquishment. Okay? Make sense? Because it says, casting all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. The key word here is casting. Casting means to put something on something or someone else. You have something and you put it on someone. You cast it over to something. It's an intentional act of relocating something from one place to another. I'm going to give you an example of this in Luke 19. Remember that right before the passion of Yeshua, He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Okay, I'm going to read you the scripture. Verse 35 is when they brought that donkey, that colt, to Him. Luke 19:35. When they brought Him, the colt, to Yeshua, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat on Him. So here, they cast their clothes on the colt. You see that? It was an intentional, they took their clothes and they transferred it, they cast it. It was an intentional act, decisive act, to do this. To cast something is to hurl it with effort and energy. The term was also used for making a deposit. You know, when you go to the bank and you make a deposit, you don't stand there at the teller and hand her the money or him and just, you know, tug of war with him, do you? No. You take it in there, you set it down, you slide it over. You cast it over. I'm intentionally just moving this. I'm relinquishing it over to you. You take care of it. That's that word. That's that same word. They would use that word that way. And this is what you should do with your worries and anxiety. Don't let worry cause you to give up, to give in, to wear out. Instead, you cast your anxieties onto the Lord. And you've got to do it personally. Many people, and we do this all the time, and we should, we ask for prayer. We're burdened with something. It's legitimate. We've got an issue, and it needs resolved. Okay? There is power in a multitude of voices, of a chorus of voices rising to the throne. We all know, we've been learning in our deal, it's like sweet incense rising to the throne. Okay, and there's power in that. And then those prayers are answered and we see results from that, and it's a great thing. I'm not taking anything away from group prayer. Okay. Continue to do that. But what I am going to say is, when it comes to casting your anxiety, casting your worry, you have to do this. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody can. Why? I can't affect your brain and say that you're just gonna get rid. No, you have to let go of it. You have to do this personally. You have to go to God and let it go. You have to cast it. It's intentional. Make that deposit with God and then walk out of the bank. You know, don't sneak back in when the bank closes and steal it back out of the drawer. Okay? We don't do that. But we do it all the time, don't we? Come on. Your anxieties will not be relieved until you pray for yourself and give them to God. Now you need to pray for others. That's another good way to get your mind off of your troubles. Maybe get your mind on somebody else's troubles and go help them a little bit. Okay? You know, so we do need to pray for each other. And intercession is fundamental to prayer. But intercession by others cannot sustain your faith. Intercession by others cannot cast for you your anxieties onto the Lord. After his resurrection, Yeshua predicted that Peter would die the same death. Peter responded by asking, Lord, basically, he said, well, what about this guy? And remember how Yeshua responded. He said, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You come follow me. You take care of you. See, the burdens in term, and I'm talking about worry and anxiety. I'm not talking about intercessory prayer for that. You must follow Yeshua yourself. This doesn't mean that the care and the concern or counsel of other doesn't matter, because again, we're talking about worry and anxiety. And all of that is internal. It is intimate. It is personal. See, you can go to the doctor for a sickness. You could say you're casting your sickness on him. You're trying to transfer the getting some help for this to somebody else, right? But you can't go to the doctor and cast your worry on him. He's not going to worry about you 10 minutes after you walk out the door. He's going to have another patient, right? You can't do that. You can ask people for help financially and kind of cast your burden onto them. But you can't do the worry part, can you? You can't cast that on them. You know, the same with relationship conflicts. You can go to a mediator and you can try to get some help, but they can't take on the worry and the anxiety. So, do you have worry? If you have worry, then you need to ask yourself the question, have you prayed about it? Have you trusted God? Have you just given it over? That doesn't mean that he'll take the problem away, but it does mean that you can exchange the worry for peace, just like Dr. Stanley did. You see, you can take that weight off. Let him shoulder it. He's got big shoulders. He can handle it. Cast your cares on him exclusively. The Lord is not mentioned here in back in our other scripture here, 1 Peter. It's not mentioned by name, but it says he and him, and so we know who he's talking about, right? He's the only one that can bear up those worries. We often cast our anxieties on family and friends. We think that if we just unload, it will help, and they'll show some concern, you know, many times, maybe even offer support, but they can't bear the weight of your anxiety. You've got to cast them onto the Lord. In his providence, the Lord allows life to overwhelm us in order to show us that we can't do it on our own. It's the purpose. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He's just there and asks us to lean on Him. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain you, it says in Psalm 55. Here we go again, casting your burden on the Lord. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Who else but the Lord can make a promise like that? Nobody. No one but the one with the biggest shoulders. He's got the big shoulders. He can carry it all, and we can give it to Him. We can lean on Him. Here's one of my favorite scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That is a memory scripture there, if you haven't already. One of the many ways, see, that we acknowledge Him is by realizing that we can cast our care, acknowledge the fact that humble yourself. Acknowledge who He is. Acknowledge those great shoulders. Acknowledge your weakness. Humble yourself. Cast these things onto Him. It is one of the ways that we trust the Lord. It's one of the ways we acknowledge Him. We got to completely let it go. There's a saying that says, half-hearted trust is only wholehearted unbelief masquerading as faith. Half-hearted trust is only wholehearted unbelief masquerading as faith. You only trust in the Lord if you trust Him with your whole heart. Max Lucado wrote this. He says, as long as Jesus is one of many options, He is no option. As long as you carry your burdens alone, you don't need a burden bearer. As long as your situation brings you no grief, you will receive no comfort. As long as you can take Him or leave Him, you might as well leave Him, because He won't be taken half-heartedly. In other words, we've got to let it go completely. I already read this earlier, so I won't again, but this is a wonderful promise of believing prayer. We need not be anxious about anything, because we can carry everything to God in prayer. There is nothing too small for God to care about, and there is nothing too big that He can't handle. It says that we are to cast all your anxieties onto Him. All refers to all the various multiple cares that you carry around, the big ones and the little ones, the whole of your worries. You're to give it all to God. We will not escape the trials and the troubles of this world, but we can, and we should, and we must escape the anguish and the worry and the anxiety of all of it, so that our spirit and mind can rest in Yeshua. Yeshua told us this, Matthew 11. He says, come to Me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. He's saying we don't need to labor mentally and emotionally. We don't need to labor like that. We don't need to be heavy laden with worry and anxiety. I mean, we have work to do, we have jobs, we have responsibilities, all of that. It's not what I'm talking about. We have to do those things. We have life. But we are not to be heavy laden. We are not to labor with these things. And so this positive relinquishment that we're talking about here means that we aren't afraid to tell God how we feel. Be honest. Don't be embarrassed by them. It's okay. He knows they're there anyway. Don't include some cares and leave some out. Go all in. Don't think He's tired of hearing the same thing. I'm guilty of this. sometimes I think, oh, well, I prayed about that 10 times already. He's tired of hearing that. No, he's not. Don't give it to the Lord and take it back. I covered that. Cast your anxieties on the Lord completely and continually. How do you do this? How do you do this? Psalm 90. It says, oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us early with your mercy, and then let us live the day. So I'm saying, first thing in the morning, cast your cares about that day onto God and leave it there. Now, they're going to return because we're human. They're going to return through the day. But just refuse to take them back. Just remember back. No, I gave that to God. And go, man. No, gave that to God. Shut up, Satan. Gave that to God. See what I mean? Do it early in the morning. And refuse to give them back. So we must positively relinquish the worry and anxiety to God. That's the second dynamic that we see here in 1 Peter. Now, this doesn't mean we don't have to deal with the issues, but it positively means we don't have to worry and be anxious about it. And we give tomorrow to God. It's His anyway. Number three is blessed assurance. 1 Peter 5 tells us what to do about our anxieties and why. It says to cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. Anxiety is a human condition, guys. We're going to have it. We're not going to get away from it unless we apply this. We're not going to overcome it on our own. The spiritual remedy is to cast our anxieties on the Lord. And the great incentive, the reason we can do this with confidence is because we know that He cares for us. He cares for us. You know that famous scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now, who's He talking about? He's talking about the Father. That He gave His only Son. So He's got to be talking about the Father. The Father so loved the world. Are you not part of the world? The Father so loved the world. And this is how much we know that Yeshua cares. Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. He loved the church how much? He gave Himself for her. All that Yeshua did on that stake, the beatings, the humiliation, all of it, He did it for one reason. Because just like the Father, He so loved the world. He so loved each one of us. Both the Father and the Son care deeply about you. And so when we look back at 1 Peter, we see that verse 6 is a statement about the mighty hand of God. Verse 7 is a statement about the caring heart of God. The Lord's hand is strong enough for you to cast all your worry on Him. He can handle it. And the Lord's heart is kind enough to do all the worrying for you. And so you put that together, you can see that His heart and His personal concern, and with His mighty hand, He can handle both the weight and the worry. Recall that when Yeshua and the disciples, they were sailing across the Sea of Galilee and that storm came up. Yeshua was sacked out in the back of the boat. Remember that? Mark 4:38 says this. He says, but He was in the storm, in the stern, asleep on a pillow. You see, when you don't have worry and anxiety and you're all, not all, you know, jacked up, and you just sleep like a baby in the middle of a storm on a pillow. All right, anyway, notice what they didn't say. He says, and they woke Him and said to Him, teacher, do you not care? Do you not care that we're perishing? What are you doing? Wake up. You notice that they didn't cry out for a miracle. You know, they were so just caught up and bound up with worry and anxiety about this situation that they couldn't see that God was in the boat. Right there with him. With all the power over nature and everything else that's going on. Come on. This illustrates this internal struggle of our fallen nature when we get into these external storms. We can believe the Lord is able, but then we question if he cares. We believe the Lord is able, but we question if he cares. We can understand that God is all-powerful. Oh, he can do anything he wants. He's the mighty hand. Yeah, we buy into all of that. But then when the storm comes, we question, well, but does he care about this? Does he care enough about this? Does he care? Hebrews 4. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, bring the worry, the anxiety, boldly, give it over boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Guys, don't judge the Lord's concern for you by your present circumstances. Isn't it a really good thing that Yeshua didn't do that in the midst of his passion? It's a good thing, right? God's care for you is embedded in the fact that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the stake for us. He carried the burden of all sin. At that moment, guys, he can carry your worry. The sin bearer is also the care bearer. Not the care bearer, the care bearer. Cast your anxieties on him, for we have blessed assurance. That's that third one. Blessed assurance that he cares and wants to carry them for us. So you can sing that song. Don't worry, be happy. But you know, it's just a song. It won't be reality. It won't have any substance unless you apply what we find in 1 Peter 5 and many other verses. I've focused on this one, just kind of used it as a central point here. But there's a lot more. For instance, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and at the same time fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and your staff, they comfort me. What beautiful poetic language that is. It's telling us the same thing. Many things can swirl around us, but with the application of these dynamics, we can be in them with blessed assurance, and we can have inward peace. I will close with these words of Yeshua. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives peace, do I give to you. Let not your heart, your spirit, your mind be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Amen? Amen.